Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Steve Willis is best known for his role on ABC's Emmy-winning miniseries, Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. He's also a pastor. He's involved with the Community Fellowship on the campus of Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. Pastor, welcome to LifeQuest.
Thank you, Dwight. Great to be here with you.
Now, let me ask you a question. Why did you write this book at this time?
There's a long story with that. From a national perspective, this book, I believe, has divine timing because the greatest health crisis that we have in America today is related to the problem of obesity. Hypertension, heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease, various types of cancer, all of these things, diabetes, they're all related to our food system, the way we feed ourselves, the way we take care of ourselves. So I know that this is a moral issue. I also see that more and more kids are having a difficulty in school because they're not getting the nutrition they need.
Right.
And the church has to recognize that this is a moral issue.
Steve, a number of years ago, maybe a lot of years ago, where I first began to pastor, I was talking about health, and a number of Christians from differing faith backgrounds came to me, and they said, you know, this is all wrong, being concerned about what to eat and not to eat. That's a violation of the New Testament. God gave everything to us to consume. Have you had any pushback from fellow believers?
I've had a pushback, but not from that. That's what you've encountered is a much more theologically driven question than what I have.
Okay.
I had to deal with. And so, you know, to be honest with you, I respect that type of question. What I get more of is, well, we're going to die anyway, and I'll just get to heaven a little faster than you will. And so it's just a joke for them. But here's the thing, is even if you say, even if you lean on the biblical passages, it says, I can eat anything that I want to.
Right.
I may not argue with you on that, okay? But at the same time, I would ask this question. Does that mean that you can drink all the coffee you want to?
Right.
Have cocaine if you want to, because that's natural. Marijuana is natural, so does that mean it's okay to put marijuana in the body?
Right.
And most people will say, well, obviously, you know, that's not it. That's harmful to the body. That's destructive. That destroys it. Well, so do fattening foods. So do greasy foods, salty foods. Those are destructive to the body. So, you know, I just try to get them to see the consistency. I appreciate when they come at it from a theological standpoint. Mm-hmm. Don't want us to be legalistic.
Right.
But at the same time, let me add this thought, is just because I can eat certain types of food, doesn't mean I have to eat 3 pounds of that certain type of food. You know, there needs to be some kind of self-control exhibited there.
You know, this flippant response that you mentioned at the beginning that you sometimes get, that works out until you're there as a pastor visiting them in the hospital.
Right, yeah, and it's not, and that's, like I said earlier, when people joke, well, I'll just get to heaven before you do, you know, and then they laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of my associate pastors was in a group of pastors when they were sharing a story like that.
Right.
And he said, you must think for your family.
Right.
When you're 60 years old and your grandkids want you to be at their graduation,
That's right.
You're just not going to be around, when you're not able to pick up your grandkids or give them wisdom that they're going to need when they're 16, 17, 18 years old, just mainly because you didn't take care of your own body.
Steve, I lived in Europe for a while, and I came to realize straight away that Americans have become very large people.
Yeah, we're the fattest nation in the world, and you know that's what brought the attention to our area, Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
Is we were the fattest city in the fattest region of the fattest country in the world.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, and you know, thankfully, since we've been working on this, our adult obesity rate in our city, the statistics just came out this week. So you know, this is a good time to have this phone call. Our adult obesity rate has dropped 8%. Now, people say, well, that's not much. Well, before it was 46%.
Yeah.
So basically, that was almost one out of two
mm-hmm.
people who were obese. Now that has dropped to less than 2 out of 5. So, or to put it another way, when you're talking about almost a 10% drop, that means 1 out of 10 people got out of that obesity danger zone. And that's a major accomplishment, and I thank God for that. We've been doing a lot of things in this city to address it, and to make that much of an improvement, you know, I'm very, very thankful for that.
Your book is called Winning the Food Fight, and you deal a lot with the fact that many of your readers are going to be from a Christian readership. And one of the questions I think that would come up and that you're dealing with is, does God really care about these things?
Right. And here's the thing, when people say I can eat anything I want to, I've got the freedom to do that. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we also have to honor God with our body. And the scripture says, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it all to the glory of God. And I think that's the baseline question that we have to ask when it comes to health and nutrition, is what I am about to eat, will that give glory to God?
Right.
Is God going to get glory out of this? And, you know, in one or two slices of pizza, you know, that may give me the energy I need. It may help me with a dairy group.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're eating three or four slices three or four times a week, God is not going to be honored by that in the long run. And that's the question we have to ask. Is God going to be glorified by what I'm about to put in my body? And within the Christian church, Dwight, here's the thing is people understand it. If I drink four beers,
mm-hmm.
God's not going to be glorified by that.
Right.
You know, but they won't apply the same thing to what they have on their dinner plate. And that's what I try to bring out in the book is just the inconsistency in our thought processes.
And I was just going to go there, that some of us are very concerned about misuse of alcohol and drugs and other things, but we seem to ignore what we're partaking in every day.
Yep, that's exactly right. And how this disconnect happened in the church, I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. You know, of the seven deadly sins, the only ones we don't talk about very much from our pulpits is the sin of gluttony.
Yes.
The rest of them we talk about quite readily.
Yes.
So, you know, my question is, why do we leave that one out? You know, and on the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And, you know, as a pastor, how can I get in the pulpit and tell the teenagers in our youth group and the young adults that they need to be temperate, that they need to practice self-control, mm-hmm. but yet I can't push away from the dinner table?
In your book, you also combine two things here. You talk about willpower, but then you talk about God's grace. How does that go together?
Yeah. Now, Dwight, this is just a personal testimony for me when you ask that question.
Okay.
Is that, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be confused in the secular realm with willpower.
All right.
You know, I'm just going to will myself out of this problem that I'm in. And I'm just going to have, you know, and there are a lot of Christian, quote-unquote, self-help books. But
yes.
That's not what winning the food fight is about. Winning the food fight is about tapping in to the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in all of us who are followers of Christ, tapping into that power, and then he begins to free us from the slavery of gluttony, that we become slaves to God. In other words, that instead of desiring to do that which is harmful to our bodies and harmful to our relationship with God, that I become a slave and my desires become to be someone who serves Jesus. Now, I'll just tell you straight up what this is looking like in a lot of our people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing at a buffet, a nice breakfast buffet. I'm out in Washington, D.C. last week, and we're there and we're talking about health and all that, and I'm standing for a breakfast buffet, and they've got all the biscuits and gravy and,
yes.
you know, there's the greasy bacon and all that right there. And then over to the right, there's a big fruit section.
Mm-hmm.
And my eyes were drawn to the fruit and the healthy food section and the yogurt. I wanted to go there. Now, I can promise you, Dwight, 5 years ago, I could have just pulled up a chair to the buffet table and eaten straight out of the gravy bin.
Okay.
And because that's all I wanted. But what God has done is he has empowered myself so that I want that which is good for me. I desire those things. And so now it's not a matter of me fighting against my will and overcoming it's just I want to do the right things. I desire to do the right things. I want righteousness. I want healthy food. And when we practice self-discipline, that's what God does. He changes who we are from the inside out. So I just don't have the struggles I used to have.
And that testimony is really to the heart of this and many other subjects. I remember an early Christian leader, maybe in the 5th century, Augustine, who said, love God and do as you please. Well, of course, the more we love God, what pleases us and what pleases God become quite parallel, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, and if you love me, you obey me. And so that's why my main emphasis of the book is, okay, do we love Jesus? Do we want to be different? Do we want to treat our bodies the way God tells us to? Do we want to present them as living sacrifices? Do we want to love God with all our strength?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you ask God to give you the self-control to do those things, and I'm not talking about willpower, if you allow him to change you from the inside out, then he can revolutionize the way you relate not only to food, but every aspect of your life.
Where does exercise come in all this?
Exercise is very important. I mean, and that's something that at first we were emphasizing that and not focusing on the nutrition. And that's what, when Jamie Oliver and ABC's Food Revolution came to our town, and we did that miniseries.
Yes.
That's what Jamie brought to my attention. And I even recognized it just before he came. That's why I was praying for him to come to our town, was that exercise with good nutrition is what we need. But really the nutritional aspect is even more important than the exercise. You know, we don't work like our grandparents worked.
Right.
That's the hard part. Is, you know, earlier generations, most of them had jobs where they were up and moving throughout the day.
Uh-huh.
Some kind of laborer job. Well, now, you know, about 85% of the jobs that are out there are, you know, lend themselves to sedentary lifestyles. So we have to be intentional about getting some exercise, but let me tell you what, you'd have to run 5 miles to work off one Big Mac. And that's what most people don't understand.
Right.
If I go out and walk a mile, you know, you've just barely, that's a drop in the bucket for what you need to do to take care of that Big Mac you just ingested. So I really encourage people to get exercise. It's good for your heart. But the main thing that we have to address is our nutrition, what's going in the body.
And Steve, you've seen this, I'm sure, also, especially in our adolescents and our teenagers, the problems.
Yeah, and that's why I try to emphasize the parents with children and teenagers. Here's my own story. I'll tell you about my son. This is why it's so personal for
me. All right.
When he was in kindergarten, he was just struggling to pay attention. He was getting in trouble all the time. His math scores early on in childhood were 40s and 50s. He just couldn't focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so the teacher said, he's a discipline issue. And let me tell you what, I'm a strong disciplinarian. So, you know, to say that my kid's not disciplined, yes, he is disciplined at home, but he just couldn't do it. You know, my other two kids were fine. And they suggested we get on ADD medication. So he started taking the medication, and I could just see that he would zone out during the evening. He just wasn't my son. It was even changing his personality. I didn't like that. And I told my wife, whatever we have to do, let's just throw all the bad foods, hydrogenated oils, sugars, let's just get him out of his diet. I'll change the way I eat if that's what I have to do. And then we put him on some omega-3 vitamin oils.
Mm-hmm.
We did that and changed his nutrition, took him off all the medications. And Dwight, you know, honest to goodness, he went from a 50th percentile math student to now he's a 90th percentile math student.
Praise God.
In just a matter of a few months. And I just wonder, Dwight, this is why I get so passionate about it. Here now my kid is an A student in math, okay? He's a 12-year-old, and he's just doing great in math, okay? And he does better in every category. He's better in everything we have. And I wonder how many kids are out there that are struggling with C's and D's, and they're not going to be all that they were designed to be by their Heavenly Father because we still pump in the sugar and the unhealthy foods in them, and their bodies just can't deal with all the malnutrition we put in their body. And how many kids could do awesome things for the kingdom of God if we just got them the nutrition they need? This is why the church has to get involved with it. If a child's not able to reach their full academic, spiritual, physical potential because of the way we're feeding them, then that's a moral issue.
There's been a concern among many pediatricians and sociologists about the fact that there's so much eating out rather than meals at home. And that seems to be somehow related to this also.
Right, and I have an entire chapter in the book. The reason we're in the shape we're in is because because the family's in the shape it's in. Mm-hmm. And the reason the family is in the shape it's in, no one will tell you that the family's in better shape now than it was 30 years ago.
Right.
Nobody will tell you that. So the, you know, then the question is, we have to ask is why? And what I found in our church, especially with the kids who were struggling with obesity and nutritional issues, is you have a lot of parents, and I was one of them at one time, who felt like all your kids had to be in everything. And when you have three kids in three different activities, running into this practice and this recital and this whatever, all of a sudden, you don't have time to make healthy meals and food. You're going to eat your dinner through a bag, through a window.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not sitting down and talking. My wife would take two kids and run there, and I would take my oldest son and run here, and I would be coaching him here, and she'd be running back and forth. And then, you know, we roll in at 8:30 at night into our house. Now the kids have got to try to figure out how to do their homework. We're never having dinner together, and that was not good for our family. And my wife looked at me like one night and said, "Now tell me again, what's your name?"
Right, exactly.
And that's the problem we're in is, you know, families, they say families that pray together stay together.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that families that pray together at the dinner table mm-hmm. stay together. And if we can get back to the family dinner, and I've got tons and tons of stats in the book on the family chapter about how if we just get back to having dinner together, it will solve a world of ills. Children who sit down and have dinner at the dinner table with their mommies and daddies four or five nights a week, every good statistic, they do better in those, and every bad statistic, you don't see as much of those things when kids sit down and have dinners with their moms and dads. And my wife values it. She makes it happen. And, you know, we've just made a commitment. We're going to have dinner four or five nights a week.
Right.
No matter what, we're going to sit down at the table and have dinner together. And if that means less activities, that's fine, but our family's more important.
What did you mean in one section of your book where it says it takes a village?
Right. That's what the community aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we've had change in Huntington like we have. We have so many groups, churches included, who are addressing the idea of nutrition, working together. And here's the good thing, Dwight. And man, let me tell you what, brother. I've had more opportunities to share Christ's love with people who are outside of the evangelical Christian faith
mm-hmm.
because of this food and nutrition issue. And I'll tell you why. Everybody understands the need, why it's important that kids need to eat well. People from all race, background, religions, that's a common denominator that we can all share. These kids need better food than what we're getting them. And so when you get involved in community groups that are talking about these issues, you know, people can't help when they're around me. It's, Pastor Steve, why are you so passionate about this?
Right.
And I'll say, because I know that God wants these kids to have better. And people rally to that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Everybody knows what the church is against right now, Dwight. You know, we're against
right.
this, we're against that. But they don't know what we're for.
Okay.
And so people are rallying to our churches that never had any interest in faith before. But
mm-hmm.
they see that our faith is driving us to changing the lives of children in our community.
Where does fasting come in, or does it come in?
You know, that was something I wrote about in the book, and a lot of people didn't see it, but here was the key in my life, and I figured out when I started fasting, and the Bible makes it very clear, Jesus didn't say if you fast,
right?
He said when you fast. It just doesn't spell out exactly how often we're supposed to fast,
right?
But it does say that we should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people in biblical times, they fasted regularly. So what I found just in my own life was, this goes back to the self-control issue. When I started practicing the spiritual discipline of fasting, it taught me just how much my flesh was in control of my daily decisions. And when I realized how much power the flesh had over my thought life, that's when I began to begin in tune to my need for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to overcome the desires of the flesh. And fasting brought those things to the surface so that I could deal with those things. So that's why I encourage, and that's why I put a chapter in the book. If we can just learn how to fast and control for a day, then that's going to enable us to make righteous choices wise choices when it comes to what I choose on a daily basis on the meals that I eat. And not only that, I mean, it, just from a practical standpoint, it saved me a lot of money. You know, my food bill went down, you know, more than 10% because I'm just taking a day and I'm just drinking juice. And I'm just, I'm healthier for it. My allergies are better this year. I was just telling my wife, and people come to me, aren't your allergies bothering you? I'm like, folks, I don't know what it is, but I've had less problem with allergies this year than I ever had my entire life. And it's just because, I know it's because of fasting and better nutrition.
You know, folks, the book Winning the Food Fight by Steve Willis is a very practical book. At the end of each section or each chapter, there are questions for discussion. And there's even some menus, aren't there, in the back?
Yeah, Jamie gave me some recipes, and he also on our website, winningthefoodfight.com, Jamie got gave me some links. Jamie gave me some links to a lot of other recipes that he has. So if you get the book, you go to winningthefoodfight.com. There's all kinds of tips on the website as well, tools to help your family get healthier, just understanding the philosophy of food. And, yeah, just getting back to cooking healthy meals, what we get in restaurants, fast food places, it's just not healthy. And the book explains why it's not, why we have to change the way we relate to food. Jamie was great helping that. And, you know, you can, the thing is if you cook well, you can eat very well. And it's not like you're eating like a bird. I mean, if you're cooking fresh, healthy foods, you can eat nice-sized portions and get full. It just doesn't automatically go to your waistline.
The book is called Winning the Food Fight by Steve Willis. It's a Regal Books publication. Where can people buy this book?
Well, you can get it, again, if you go to the website, winningthefoodfight.com, it has links there, but you can find it on Amazon. It's in Lifeway Christian stores all across the nation, Barnes & Noble, just it's all over the Internet. The book's done very well on a national basis, so I'm very thankful to God for that. One other thing I would like to say, Dwight, is I want to encourage everyone that's listening to this show to please, please, please get a copy of this book for your pastor. That's the testimony that I'm hearing from more and more people as far as the church turning upside down in a good way and getting healthier. When the pastor gets the moral imperative of taking care of our bodies, the congregation will get it. But if the pastor's up in the pulpit and he's not getting it, you know, it's a struggle to get people in the pews to get it. You know, as my professor from seminary, Howard Hendricks, used to say, mist in the pulpit is fog in the pews. And so we have to get our pastors on board with this. And I think we'll see a revolution happen. We've seen it here in Huntington since we've began this crusade. And in large part, it's because a lot of our pastors have gotten on board with this idea. We see it as a moral imperative.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you being on LifeQuest.
Thank you so much. God bless, Dwight.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930. I'm Dwight Lainhoff.